Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence with us today, both in person and online, for those of you who are joining us online. I have just a couple of announcements this morning. One, today is the first Sunday of March, so we will be doing a basket offering. The basket offerings this month will go towards Silly. Next week, and I need to keep reminding myself of this because it seems to always catch me off guard, even when I do know it's coming, but it's daylight savings time. I'm sure you'll see other reminders this week, but just a heads up, next week, Sunday morning, we're going to have to get up a little bit earlier than usual. This one is the one that always is a little bit harder for me. Lent has started, and so please join us each Wednesday at 6:30 for our midweek worship services. Gary Hedrick has been on our prayer list, well, for as long as I've been here. He's had quite a few health struggles, and this week he fell and broke two bones in his neck. He's okay, they're in alignment, and so as long as he's careful and still and wears his neck collar, hopefully he should be okay, but please hold Gary and Paula in your prayers. As many of you know, it is just as hard to be a caregiver as it is to be the one in need of care. So because today is the first Sunday in Lent, we do have a different gospel acclamation. We do not say Alleluia or sing it in worship during the season of Lent, and so we do have a different gospel acclamation, and we have a different Kyrie this morning. The Kyrie is familiar, but that is a little bit different as well. Last but not least, we have a few birthdays. Walter Blower, Chloe Gabriel, Mike Wilson, Lindsay Black, Alex Chapman, and Carson Rose. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I have a card to read. This is from Karen Beck. My dear Holly Grove family, God bless you and your outpouring of love during this time. Everything you did, prayers, cards, visits, food, flowers, and memorials, meant more than you can imagine. I recently heard this quote, "With great love comes great misery when one dies." I am here. But I know there is life everlasting, and I will go on from there. Robin was a Baptist by birth, Lutheran and proud American in death. Above all, he was a Christian. His mantra was pay it forward, and he would ask all of you to follow this in his memory. Please remember him fondly. He loved this church, and he loved you. Much love to all of you. Karen. And we have a prayer shawl to bless this morning. This is for Carolina Conrad's namesake, Paul and Carolina's newest great-granddaughter, Caroline Brielle Perdue. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for the gift of new life, and we especially thank you for the gift of Caroline Brielle and the new life that she has come with into the Conrad family. We ask that you would bless her all the days of her life, that you would help her to grow like you grew, Jesus, in wisdom and in stature, in favor with you and all people. We ask that you would bless her parents as they are making their way through life with a newborn, and we ask that you would bless their entire family. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Lord God, you led your people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide us now, so that following your Son, we may walk safely through the wilderness of this world toward the life you alone can give. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Deuteronomy. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at the time and say to him, "Today I declare to you, to the Lord your God, that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. "A wandering Aramean was our ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 91. The Lord is king, let the people tremble. The Lord great in Zion. Let them confess God's name, which is great and awesome. Almighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord and fall down before God's footstool. Moses and Aaron among your priests, and Samuel among those who call upon your name. You spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud. O Lord our God, you answered them indeed. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord and worship upon God's holy hill. The second reading is from Romans. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and is so justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Greek and Jew. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Jesus answered him, it is written, one does not live by bread alone. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, to you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over me. And I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered him, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Hi, Cameron. Hi, Calvin. So I don't know if you all have noticed, but we've changed the pyramids out. They're now purple, like they match the stole that I have on. It is officially Lent. And Lent lasts for 40 days, not including Sundays. Sundays are always, always, always a celebration of the resurrection. And so Sundays are not included in Lent. But I was hoping Cameron would be here this morning. I wanted to do this last Sunday, but I really wanted to wait until you were here, because I think you'll be really good at helping me with this. So this is a little picture that I colored that says, Alleluia. It can be both. It can be both. It can be Hallelujah or Alleluia. And both of them mean praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. And one of the things that is a little bit different in Lent is that we don't say or sing Alleluia. We kind of hide it away for the season of Lent. This started, Calvin, you might find this interesting, This started back in the 400s that we stopped saying Alleluia and Alleluia during worship, during Lent. And so since we're not going to say this for the next few weeks, I was wondering if you guys could help me hide it somewhere in the sanctuary. And then when it's time for us to say it again on Easter, we can go and find it. So can you help me find a place to hide this? Okay, let's go hide it. Calvin, you want to help us? Give it to a dog so they can eat it? Well, the thing is, we want to find it again. We want to find it again. Let's see, is there a place back here that we can... What if we tucked it in this little door here? You think we could hide it right there? Can you tuck it back there for me? Excellent. Now the tricky part is we're gonna have to remember where it is when we want to find it in a few weeks. Do you think you can help me remember where it will be? Okay. Well, thank you for your help. Can we offer a prayer really quick before you go down to your fun playroom? Okay, repeat after me. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. And thank you for our church. And thank you that every Sunday we come together to worship you. Help us to sing praises and to honor you with our words, with our hearts, with our minds, and our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So many of you know that over the next few days, my mom is relocating to Salisbury. She's gotten a new call at St. John's Lutheran Church there, and an hour is just far more than she wanted to commute every day, although after packing and preparing to move, she is reconsidering that, but... You know, the sale of the house is already on the roll. But over the last couple of weeks, we have spent a lot of time packing, and not just packing, but sorting and thinking through things and remembering things and just spending a lot of time with a lot of stuff. She's lived in this house for 30 years, and as most of you know, you can accumulate a lot of stuff in 30 years. Not just your own stuff, but over the course of those 30 years, she has had several aunts die, and she's gotten some of their things, and her mom has died, and we've gotten a lot of her things, and it has all just kind of added up in the upstairs, in the basement. And maybe you can relate to this too, but let's say you have a blanket that somebody has given you, and you put it in your closet, your linen closet, and then you close the door. Well, you don't often think about that blanket in the linen closet unless you open the door and remember that it is there. And so as we've gone through cupboards, closets, even drawers, we are finding things that we had forgotten that she had, a lot of stuff that she may not have been using, but all stuff that means something. But when you put something somewhere, you don't intentionally forget about it, it just kind of stays there. And then over time you add more stuff to the closets and the cupboards and the drawers, and before you know it, they are more full than you realize. You kind of don't realize how much stuff you have until you're packing and you see it in boxes. But when it comes time to take things out and to sort through them and rearrange and maybe let some things go, it really hits you how much stuff that you have. It is no longer out of sight and out of mind. And all of this work of packing and sorting and even letting go has reminded me of some of the work that we are called to do internally during Lent. Every year on the first Sunday in Lent, we read the story of Jesus going into the wilderness for 40 days before his ministry begins. Lent gets both its structure and its themes for the 40 days of Lent from the 40 days that Jesus spent in the desert. And in the desert, he faced the most powerful and profound temptations of the human experience. He was tempted to trust that which is not God for security and survival. He was tempted to trust that which is not God for affirmation and approval. He was tempted to trust that which is not God for power and control. All three temptations that we encounter daily, actually multiple times every day, we encounter these temptations. And we see in the story that from the depth of his relationship with God, Jesus is faithfully able to resist these temptations. For us, Lent is a time of reflection and preparation. We prepare our hearts and our minds and our bodies for the death and resurrection of Jesus. Lent for us is a little bit different than the secular understanding of Lent, where you try to test your resolve and give up chocolate just to see if you can do it or whatever. Lent for us is instead a discipline. On Ash Wednesday, I invited you to the discipline of Lent, to the discipline of God calling us to self-examination, to prayer and fasting, and sacrificial giving and works of love. In doing so, we are reminded of our need for repentance, our need for love and forgiveness, all of which are given to us in Jesus Christ. But this is hard work. It's really hard work. And so one of the images that has been most helpful to me over the years as I think about the discipline of Lent is spring cleaning my internal home, my heart and my mind. As many of you know, I love to clean and I love to organize, but it's a lot harder to clean our internal home than it can be to clean our physical homes. Just like our physical homes, our internal homes can get full of stuff. Over the months and years, we can fill ourselves with a lot of clutter. And unless we deal with it, it accumulates and accumulates and accumulates. And all of this stuff, this clutter, takes up room that God could be occupying in our hearts and our minds. Things like sin, greed, self-righteousness, shame, old grudges, unforgiven people and circumstances. We all have cupboards and closets and drawers within us where we like to pack stuff away. But just because it's packed away doesn't mean it isn't still there. Even if we don't see it, even if we don't process it, it's still there. But we are given the gift of Lent, a time when we can roll up our sleeves and do some deep cleaning. This is where the disciplines of self-examination and prayer and fasting come in. We take a good, honest look at our internal home and examine ourselves. We go into those back rooms within us that we don't like to or want to because they're so full and we just don't know what to do with the stuff and we get overwhelmed by the clutter and we'd rather just close the door, or maybe it's just too painful and we'd rather avoid the pain. Whatever the reason, we'd just rather keep it back there. But in this season, we are called to do the deep cleaning. We are called to look at our internal home and honestly examine ourselves. And then we are called to fast, or to give up or let go of whatever is causing us to give up space to other people and things that are not God within our hearts. One of the best ways that we can do this work is by spending time in God's presence through prayer, because this is hard work and we can't do it alone. We don't examine ourselves for the fun of it, because let's face it, self-examination isn't fun. We don't give up things or let go of them to see how strong we are and how disciplined we are. We give up things, we fast from things, to make more room for God in our hearts and our minds. We ask God to show us what clutter in our hearts and minds we need to let go of and to get rid of. And then we ask the Holy Spirit to help us actually do the work of letting it go. This is intense work. It really is. And we're only able to do it because not only is God with us, but Jesus has gone before us. He knows what it is to struggle and to be tempted. The devil tempted him to fill his heart and mind with things that were not God. But just as Jesus went into the desert with the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit goes with each of us into our Lenten journeys. Beloved children of God, Lent is before us. I know we'd rather skip through it. We'd rather skip through Lent and Good Friday, and oh my gosh, would we just so much rather have Easter Sunday here. We are all longing for resurrection and new life, for joy and for hope. But before that, we are invited by God to the discipline of Lent, to prepare our hearts and minds for the death and resurrection of Jesus. Listen again to these words from the invitation to Lent that I offered on Ash Wednesday. Friends in Christ, with the whole church, we enter the time of remembering Jesus' Passover from death to life, and our life in Christ is renewed. We begin this holy season by acknowledging our need for repentance and for God's mercy. We are created to experience joy in communion with God, to love one another, and to live in harmony with creation. But our sinful rebellion separates us from God, our neighbors, and creation, so that we do not enjoy the life our Creator intended. As disciples of Jesus, we are called to a discipline that contends against evil and resists from whatever leads us away from the love of God and neighbor. I invite you, therefore, then, to the discipline of Lent, self-examination and repentance, prayer and fasting, sacrificial giving and works of love, strengthened by the gifts of the Word and sacrament. Brothers and sisters, let us continue our journey through these 40 days to the great 3 days of Jesus' death and resurrection. Roll up your sleeves, because we've got some work to do cleaning our internal homes. Amen. Thank you.
together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Drawn close to the heart of God, we offer these prayers for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for the church. Sharpen its proclamation of the word so that your people learn to reject voices of deception and distraction. Strengthen all who are tempted to believe the lies about themselves or others. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the earth and all of its creatures. Protect wilderness places and all plant and animal species that call them home. Sustain farmers and all laborers who work the land and harvest the fruits of its abundance. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world, especially Ukraine and Russia. Awaken leaders and government officials to the needs of those who are oppressed and grant them compassion to deal mercifully with immigrants and refugees who reside among us. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those in need. Rescue those experiencing mental illness or contending with addiction. Ease the anxiety of those who live with dementia. Command your angels concerning all who are sick or in need, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, John, Mike, Latifa, Bob, Sandra, Jana, our friends and families listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for this assembly. Bless the variety of ministries in this congregation. Empower us to freely welcome and deeply value each person who enters into worship and ministry among us. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks for those who have died. Gather them with all the saints into your heavenly dwelling place. Encourage us with a promise that all who call upon your name are saved. Lord, in your mercy,
accept the prayers we bring, O God, on behalf of a world in need, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us this far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, his resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Come, Spirit of Freedom. Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of the resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Here is food and drink for the journey ahead. Come and be filled.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the blood and body of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go with Christ into a weary world. Share the good news.